Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner and Remy Motti, and we have survived sweltering heat, 110 degrees. It's not even August yet, and we're dealing with hundreds and humidity, heat index, and like the one. It feels like Phoenix or something.
Bro, I came back from a run the other day, and I felt like it was like the surface of the sun.
How'd you run in this?
It was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was still like 900 degrees, and the humidity is so disgusting.
I kept saying to myself, "I'm glad I'm saved because hell is going to be so hot." Like this is bad. And then there's nothing like
this. I saw Pastor text that the other day. He's like, "Man, if this weather doesn't want to make you get saved, I don't know what you're thinking."
Right? She said this in front of the girls. I'm glad they weren't listening at that moment. She's like, what, huh? But you know what? It's not even August, so it's going to get worse. You would think it's going to get worse, but football is here.
Yes.
Training camp is starting. It's too soon for me. I've actually been like in a malaise the last couple of days because this time of year for me, it's kind of like the end of summer vacation, and I feel like a kid going back to school. Because it's one thing when I cover baseball, because covering baseball, the Phillies go on a road trip, they're away. I can't. There's nothing else going on. I can literally have a day off.
Absolutely right.
Forget it in the NFL.
Yes. Oh no,
I don't have a day off. There's camp. If there's not camp, there's practice. If there's not practice, there's a game. If it's not the Eagles, because I have to follow the whole league, there's something happening. Yeah. Every day.
And someone's going to press conference even on days off when they don't have practice, right?
Always.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Always.
And if there's nothing going on, there's a text that makes you write in the middle of the highway somewhere. Like,
Side of the highway.
The only advantage is, I have one advantage. When Remy yells at me for being on my phone, I'm like, it's work, hon. It's work. It's work. Uh-huh. Somehow, some way, I'm working. I'm listening to or reading a transcript of a news conference. So, yes, my summer vacation's over. So I'm trying to like get out of this little malaise that I've
been. Come on, the boys are back in town.
They are.
It's awesome. NFL has started. Some of the training camps are already going on. Everybody's happening. It's just exciting.
If they did the 18-week season, like this conversation has been, and I don't know that it will ever go through because the NFLPA and the NFL with the CBA coming up, they're going to consider everything. But if they ever did an 18-week season, I'm for it. But let me ask you real quick before we dive into the show. The possibility of an 18-week season, however, you can only play 16 games, which means Doug Peterson and all other coaches are going to have to decide, when do I bench my starting quarterback?
Yeah, I can't. That's,
how hard is that?
I think, this is what I'm going to say to that. I hate what's going on in the NBA right now, where there is
load management games for
multiple stars, and people are paying full price. And it's one thing in the NBA where you have multiple games, right? We have 82 games and then, you know, playoffs that are 400 weeks long. I understand why they do it in the NBA. The NFL is a week by week league, and I don't want to see subpar football out there. I want to see the very best players go at it. And so, you know, I have mixed feelings about 18 game season. I hate four preseason games. I think they're ridiculous. Yeah. I think it's robbery for fans, money wise.
Yeah, I'm fine with the preseason, and I hate covering those games. I'm fine with it if they don't charge fans full price.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It becomes ridiculous when you come to that fourth preseason game, and guys, you know, are never like I like it because I'm watching.
It's for a practice squad.
I'm watching some guys but for it's a waste.
It's for the 53rd man on a roster,
correct.
47 through 53.
Yeah, that's right.
The practice squad. And I get that. But a lot of times now, more and more and more teams are holding back their starters. And in some cases, guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, they're getting two series the entire preseason.
Correct.
And they're done. And I don't blame the coaches at all.
I think
for
if
that.
I'm a veteran, I agree with you. Knowing some of the guys who are veterans now, you know, watching the they are starting, think about it, they're starting the third week of July.
Wow.
And their first game is not until
first week of September.
It's a lot of hitting. It's a lot on their legs. They're playing half a season, basically, before they even get to one season game. It's a lot. In a full context sport.
It's a ton. The Heat, at least they don't have the two-a-days now.
Yeah, exactly. Which, they do have some CBA rules, which helps.
Nowadays, guys will tell you they don't even hit anymore. Yeah. They don't even practice the right way. It's really like a country club atmosphere at camp. But all this football conversation, you'd think we're going to have a football guest on, but no.
It's
still Boys of Summer.
It is the Boys of Summer.
I had to take a snooze here for a second. What's happening?
It is full baseball mode today as far as our guests, because it's L.A. Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. I really enjoyed my conversation with Dave, so we're going to hear from him later on the show. And Dave talked about the idea that some people may have about Christianity and how they may feel those expectations are unattainable. And it was a very interesting conversation, because when he said that, I started to think, and I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what he's feeling here and how that thought process works. Because in reality, that's like the enemy's lie, wanting to make us feel unworthy of being a Christian. Yeah. So what we're going to do on this show is talk about imperfection, because in reality, we're all imperfect people. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Yes. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Yes. Only Jesus was perfect. He's the only one who walked this earth who was a perfect person. Here's the truth about Christianity. Regardless of what you heard in religion class or what you were taught in church, we don't have to look, all of us, like as a Christian, to fit into the same kind of box or however you want to put it. Like, we don't all have to look a certain way. We don't all have to act a certain way. We don't all have to dress a certain way. I think we talked about that one time where, you know, the expectation of, okay, you're going to go into a church and you have to look this way, or you have to dress this way, or whatever it is. But no, you can be yourself. But
although all three of us do have pink on today. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, obviously, show, you have to at some level wear black and pink, because it's right.
You got the lighter pink. I got the
You got some fuchsia. It's fuchsia. Yeah, it's all good.
We'll have to post this one. We definitely.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is full transparency here. We're talking about it, so it's all good.
We all got some level of pink, but no, you don't have to wear pink to be a Christian. You don't have to.
It helps, though.
You don't have to fit into any kind of stereotype. There's so many stereotypes. You don't have to fit into those stereotypes. God extended his grace to all of us. In Romans 5:8, I love that verse. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We're all sinners. We're all imperfect people. We all have struggles. We all have issues. But Jesus still died for us. And when we accepted his gift, taking that cross for us, we confessed our faith and accepted him as Lord and Savior, we were saved. Mm-hmm. So the expectation that we are supposed to be perfect because we are Christians is beyond unrealistic. And it's absolutely unattainable. And to think that way, Ecclesiastes 7:20 is another verse, says, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. We're always gonna fall into the trap of a sin. But being Christian means we're supposed to be different, to think different, to act different. And by different, I don't mean dress, speak, behave. No, it's love like Christ loves and forgive like Christ forgives, because that's a different kind of love and a different kind of mercy that he shows us. That is the expectation on us. It's not any kind of behavioral, any kind of look, any kind of perceive, any kind of prayer. Sometimes people, you pray a certain way. No, I do this with my daughters all the time. Like, just whatever's on your mind, say it. You don't have to pray in a certain way. But no, the one as a Christian, our expectation, or what we should want to try and live like, is live like Christ and love like Christ and forgive like Christ and show mercy like he does, and be that kind of person who therefore other people see you and want to get to know a little bit more about Jesus because of the way you live your life.
Yeah, look, our personal imperfections are the lenses through which we see God's revelations. So what I mean by that is, like,
say that one more time. Yeah.
Our personal imperfections are the lens through which we see God's revelations.
Wow.
So it's how God reveals himself, right? So we would never know forgiveness mm-hmm. if we didn't sin. We would never know mercy if we didn't need something, right, right. to be overlooked at some right. level, right? To not receive what we should deserve. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know. It's in our lack of being able to love unconditionally that we truly understand the depth of God's unconditional love. So, you know, when we talk about this thing about imperfection, no, it's in our imperfection that we actually begin to see the deeper revelation of God's yeah. perfection in our life, who he actually is. What I will say, Robin, I love what, you know, we've talked about a lot on the show, but our lack of holiness is not an excuse to pursue holiness. And a lot of times, you know, what ends up happening sometimes we're like, well, I can't be perfect.
Yeah.
So
you stop and give
so,
up.
So, right. So here's the things that I'm all right with. Yeah. No. My lack of holiness, I'll never be holy. I'll never right. be holy enough, right? I won't be. Yeah. I'll never be able to attain that until I step across the veil and into being transformed. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul talks about this concept where when we go to heaven, the mortal becomes immortal, right? The imperfect becomes perfect. So he's already telling me I'm always going to be imperfect until that moment, but that doesn't mean I don't seek to embrace the perfection of who God is and allow him to start transforming that in my life. And I think I think at times we have exchanged, in our minds, a good life with a God life.
Yeah.
And those two things are very different. There are a lot of people, both people who go to church and people who are Christians and people who aren't, yeah. who are living good lives, but a good life is not a God life.
Oh, I hear this all the time. People say, I'm a good person. I don't really go to church, or I'm not necessarily a believer, or I always... Right. Always hear from people, I'm not a religious person. They say, I'm not really a religious person, right? Yeah. You hear that.
Yes.
But they say, I'm a good person.
Right.
And I know because I'm a good person, I'm going to one day, I'm going to be okay with God. I'm going to be in heaven because I'm a good person. But you just told me you're not a religious person.
Right.
So we'll dive into that a little bit because after we hear from Dave Roberts, he does touch on a little bit. One of our favorite Bible verses, Ephesians 2. 8-9
You know, the thing is, a lot of people are listening and they're probably wondering, how can I be a Christian? Like, they're just wondering, how do I become a Christian? You know, because people are wondering, like, okay, you're a Christian, but you're like doing things like on a really deep level. Like, yeah. I'm not there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the thing is, you have to come as you are. That's Absolutely. Actually the number one requirement. Just like this.
Yep.
As yeah. dirty as you are.
Yep.
As sinner as you are, as horrible as you are, he wants you just like that. He doesn't yep. want you to change anything. Here's what he doesn't want you to do. To be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Don't be a Christian that is running around saying that you're perfect, that you're awesome, that you are Christ-like. And we all know that this little heart of yours need a special soap to clean it because there's so much hate in it.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're so hypocritical. That is just not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And at some point, we all fall into that trap of hypocrisy because we're all like, we want to be...
Because we're all broken.
We're all broken.
Absolutely.
So it's not necessarily that you're not trying. Keep trying.
Correct.
But just don't pretend that you are perfect because yeah, it's not yeah. perfectionism.
That's actually perfect.
Yeah, that's actually beautiful. I mean, just to take a moment about understanding sin, right? So, and I know this sounds strange, but it will help in what you were yeah. just talking about. It's beautiful. You know, the most basic sin is just error, right? We just yeah. mess up. We just make right. a mistake, okay? And that happens right. all the time. We miss the mark, okay?
Yeah.
We didn't shoot the bullseye. Just in life,
right.
we miss the mark.
Yeah.
But then there is, these are all different words in actually the Greek for it, and I won't have break it all down like that. But the second type of sin is rebellion,
yeah.
where you know something is wrong. And you still do it, right?
Exactly.
And still do it. Now, by the way, we all do that, right? Let's just be honest. There's lots of things in our lives that
we're trying to talk to that other voice in your head.
Yes.
And say,
this is when Paul is talking in Romans 7. Why do I always do what I don't want to do? He's not talking about missing, like making a mistake. He's talking about knowing something's wrong and then you're doing it. But then the third level, and this is where we get true hypocrisy.
Yeah.
True is revolt. The third kind of level of, not level of sin, but word for sin is meaning revolt.
Yeah.
Where you know God says something is wrong, but you still say it's right.
Oh.
So when you say, I know what God says,
right.
but, When we do that, we are absolutely 100% setting ourselves up to be hypocritical, because we're setting ourselves up to be God in and of ourselves.
I think there's a lot of that going on in society today as far as deep issues are concerned.
Oh, 100%.
Where a lot of people want to look at the Bible and then say, well, it doesn't speak on this topic, or it doesn't speak on this topic. And I'm talking about some serious issues.
Correct.
You know, to abortion, it comes to same-sex marriage and things like that. And people want to take their own ideas and then say, well, the Bible doesn't say this, or the Bible says that, and take that stuff out. And that's that third kind of revolt.
Well, when we say it's right, when we're saying, I know what God says is this, but I'm saying it's right. So that's where we get into this, where we're truly undermining, the testimony of where we're going, because really, my testimony is not about what God has. It's not just about what God did in me. I'm not trying to get people connected to my story. I'm trying to get the people connected to the person who changed my story.
I understand. Like, you said today is the day I changed my life today, I'm surrendering all to Christ. It's kind of like you're buying a brand new car, right? It's brand new. It looks shiny. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's clean, correct?
Yes.
And you take it out, and next thing you know, somebody scratches your car.
Yes.
Or God forbid, like what happened to us this weekend, and you park like an inch over the line, and the person next to you writes you the nastiest possible card.
Now, they may be a listener, so if that is you, we still love you. It's all good.
We love
there's
you.
Grace. There's grace.
There's definitely
you know
grace.
What? You know what though? I took a little bit a picture of their license plate in their car. So
we forgive you. We love you. We forgive you.
Yeah,
we forgive you. We love you.
We parked in a lot, and it blew my mind. I parked in a lot, and because all the cars, you know, whenever you park in a lot, sometimes one car's out of place.
Everyone else is out of line.
So we park like on a fourth floor and like, okay, this one car's out of place. I'm like, whatever, I'll just park. I fit in. Literally, the tires are on the white line.
Yeah.
Come to the car the next day and like this note, the note, here's what blew my mind. The note was a thank you card that they had received for their baby shower.
No, stop it.
So
they ripped the card.
Turned it over to the blank side.
Yeah.
So I still saw the other side that had to thank you for, you know, baby. Our
for
baby
coming
shower.
To our baby right. shower.
No, it was their baby
yeah,
shower.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they proceeded to, like, call me some nasty names. And
wished upon us some interesting stuff along the way.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, if they're listening,
we made it home safe.
I didn't get a flat tire on the way.
And he didn't poop his pants.
I didn't have an accident. For some reason, they wanted me to poop my pants on the way home.
Yeah.
Okay, or, like, get a flat tire. So that didn't happen.
Look, maybe they were having a bed.
They were probably having
a bed. Maybe they were having a bed. Maybe they hadn't slept in a few days because the baby was up. Maybe they were having a bed.
Here's the deal. They very well could be Christians, right?
Yeah.
And they were having an imperfect moment.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, totally.
They were being imperfect people. Yeah. Now, the level of imperfection there and...
I mean...
Whatever.
Anyways,
maybe you took it to another level. I don't know that if I'm ever that upset with somebody, I'm going to leave them a note like that that despicable. But hey, you know what? You're forgiven. And all of this, and I appreciate you bringing up this point... Because we're talking about imperfection, and like we're gonna do
We're
gonna do stupid dumb things.
Absolutely.
And I may not do something that dumb, but I might do something dumber.
Right.
Yes. Somebody at a baseball game the other day. This story was related to me, where their daughter was not feeling that well, and he wanted to make sure that he was on her side of the field to see how she's playing first base, standing outside the foul line, but just checking on her. It's a championship type game. And then he's standing on the other team's side. So one of the people in the stands yells, because he's a bigger guy, says, hey, you're blocking my view, you bleep, bleep, bleeper.
Nice.
Again, could have been a Christian dude saying that, having a bad moment of imperfection.
Yeah.
Brandy Halliday, I wanted to mention this because Roy Halliday was inducted into the Hall of Fame posthumously. And Brandy, spoke on behalf of her husband. And she was so poignant, had so much poise in her speech. And I know Mariano Rivera praised God and gave all the praise and glory to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was a beautiful moment, too, as well. Brandy said during Roy's Hall of Fame induction speech, "We all struggle, but with hard work, humility, and dedication, imperfect people can still have perfect moments."
Yes.
He threw a perfect game. It doesn't get any more perfect than that as a baseball pitcher, right? But we're all capable of having perfect moments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It depends on how you define a perfect moment. It could be different for you, different for you, different for me. Yet at the same time, we're all still struggling with one thing or another.
Right.
None of us, I will never think that I've got it all figured out.
Absolutely.
That I have all the answers, that I'm just going to be perfect. Like, I'm just moping around a house yesterday because football season's here. Who's moping around a house because football season's here, right? I'm hanging in a pool with my girls, and then I'm like, eh.
Next thing you know, he just walks out of the pool and, like, just goes inside the house and changes, and he's like, "I'm going to work." I'm like, what? What?
I had to kick it off early. What? I had to kick it off. There's a little bit more to it than that.
The truth is, bro. Look, the reality is that every hero of the faith was imperfect.
Yeah.
And in major ways, right? I mean, Noah was a drunk. Yeah. Abraham was an idolater.
Yeah.
David was both a murderer and an adulterer. Yeah. I mean, you know, Moses had crazy rage issues. When you start talking about all of these, Peter denied Jesus. Saul, you know, was a murderer before he was Paul. I mean, all these people had major imperfections. But I think when we grab a hold of that, we see that if we were perfect, we wouldn't need God.
Nope.
Right, it's actually in all those imperfections that God's perfection shows up in very powerful ways. And so, you know, I love the story kind of in John chapter 9 where they come across a man who's been born blind. The disciples come across a man who's been born blind, and they say to Jesus, you know, whose fault is this, right? His parents are his for sinning. Now, they're asking that because in the culture of the time, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
But this verse in verse 3 just staggers me all the time. Because Jesus stops and says, it's not because he sinned or his parents sinned. This was done to display the glory of God.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yep.
Like this imperfect moment was done, carried through his entire life for this moment, for God's glory to be shown through imperfection. And I think that those are, you know, there's a lot of times in our life where we carry a blindness to our own imperfections in our life, our own brokenness. For a long time, and those things do affect our lives. They affect others around us. I'm sure this guy, his life was affected during the years he lived.
Right. Yeah.
But it's all to bring us to a point where we collide with this beautiful salvation, transforming grace and mercy of God, the power of God that displays his love in such a way, because who would love someone so imperfect? You know, what kind of perfect God would love something that love you and I who are so imperfect, and not only just love us and accept us, make us his children, right? But to change us so that we can become more like him.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
That's kind of the good news, really, because if we look at all these people that you mentioned in the Bible, and we actually look up to these people, right?
Yes,
and they were so imperfect. That is actually good news for us, because we're not. You know, I mean,
correct.
I don't want to say not that bad, but I mean, yeah, they did some major
stuff. I'm pretty screwed up. So I'll
own it. Me too. No, me too. I'm just saying there's good news for us, really.
Correct.
Like, because we have this grace that God gave us, and we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And if you think about it, really, Jesus, I guess, has no other way. He has all these imperfect people, and he has to just use them, because we're all imperfect.
Yep.
Yeah. So he has no choice but to use you, you and me.
That's what Paul says, or in 2 Corinthians 4, where he says, we have this power, the Holy Spirit, in jars of clay, right?
Right.
So that God gets the glory, not us, right?
Yeah,
he's saying, all right, look,
course.
Everything that we've got is frail and breakable.
Right.
And he puts this majesty in us.
Yeah.
So he gets
so
the
he
glory.
So he can get the glory.
Yeah, absolutely right.
It's
beautiful.
Awesome. I love it.
And what I want to stress to anyone listening is that don't ever believe that lie. Don't ever believe that lie that you can never be good enough. Because
Absolutely.
None of us can ever be good enough.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that's right.
So if you feel unworthy of being a Christian or whatever that term is in your mind, whatever the perception is in your mind, the thought process that you feel, it's so unattainable, I'm so bad, I'm so far gone, I'm so far removed from Christ, I can never reach that, so I'm just going to continue on. No, 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 we're all that way.
Absolutely.
In one way or another. Don't let anyone fool you into thinking they're perfect. Don't let anyone fool you into thinking that their life is so much better than yours, or their Christianity is so much holier than yours, because we do that a lot as Christians. I'm holier than that person, or I'm holier than that one, or I do this, but he doesn't that, all of that stuff. No, no, no.
We're all levels.
It's God's grace is available to everyone. It's available to all of us. Don't ever feel that it's unattainable. We're not trying to fit anyone into any kind of box. Up next on Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University, we're going to hear from L.A. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Kyle Horner, and Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find all of our previous shows since the very first one. Listen anytime at your convenience. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure to follow us also on social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know where I'll be doing some speaking appearances and much, much more. And also, if you're so inclined, could you please share and let someone else know about Faith on the Field show? We would so much appreciate it. Even leave a review on iTunes and all that stuff. Our guest, Dave Roberts, played 10 seasons in the majors with the Indians, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Padres, and the Giants. He had a .266 career batting average, .342 on base percentage. Dave won a World Series in 2004 with the Red Sox when they finally broke that curse of the Bambino. They were down 3-0 against the Yankees in the ALCS and became the first team to overcome a 3-0 deficit in baseball and win a series. In Game 4, Dave Roberts entered the game as a pinch runner in a ninth inning, down a run, Mariano Rivera, Hall of Fame closer Mariano Rivera, on the mound. And after he threw over to first like three times, Roberts stole second base and scored the tying run. They go on the Red Sox to win in 12 innings, and that started the comeback. That was on. In 2010, Dave overcame Hodgkin's lymphoma. He became the Dodgers manager in 2016 after being an assistant coach and a bench coach for a couple years. And he's led them to three straight NL West titles. They're well on their way to a fourth NL West title. They've won the last two NL pennants. I sat down with Dave Roberts recently. Here is that interview. Dave, I know you've won a World Series as a player. You've managed in World Series. But I've heard you say that, number one, the most important thing in your life is Jesus Christ. Why is that relationship so important?
Well, it's as a believer, when you live by faith and not by works, I think that just knowing that I've already won, and you're playing baseball with results and things like that. So as a believer in Christ, I know as a husband, as a father, I'm not perfect. Never have I been perfect, but I know that just my relationship, and it kind of, that relationship bleeds into my life, my professional life, and it just makes things tolerable, I guess, puts it into perspective. And I think the hot box of the highs and lows, or the pressures or expectations of being a major league manager, and it's just easy for me to kind of reconcile anything with my faith. And it doesn't mean that I don't want to win as much as anyone, but I do think that my faith drives my whole life.
I grew up thinking that I had to earn my way to heaven, that I had to be good enough. And my life dramatically turned around once I realized that I'm already saved by God's grace. I know you had sort of a similar revelation at some point in your life. How did that change the path in your journey?
Well, it just, it was one of those things, let go and let God. Mm-hmm. And I always felt that being a good person, doing the right things, living by works, would be the key to salvation, eternal life. And then after I was saved, I just understood that it wasn't works, and I am worthy. I, you know, God doesn't expect me to be perfect. It's a relationship. But what it did is that it just took a lot of the pressure off. And I think that where you feel like the only way you're going to get to the big leagues and support your family is you and you alone, that's tough, and that's a lot of pressure. But when you kind of take a step back and realize that if it's God's will for you, then it'll happen. And with tithing and trusting God and being saved, just sort of allowed for things. And, you know, I think that people have a tendency to hold on so tight to something, and then they don't get the opportunity to get the blessings from Jesus. And so, and I do that, you know, and I preach that to my kids. My wife preached it to me. I preach it to her, and in anything in our lives. And it's just really allowed for a lot of the blessings that I've received. And even for me, I went through cancer in 2010. And just my faith, my wife's faith, and being honest with our kids, and knowing that you hear cancer, you think death. Yeah. But regardless, that we were just going to trust in God and his plan for us. And my parents came to know Christ because of how my wife and I handled that wow. kind of adversity or kind of what was in front of us.
And sometimes we think being saved, being a Christian, means life is going to be a bed of roses. Jesus never promised a life without storms, and it's how you handle it, how you reacted to it. So when you were going through that, it became sort of a testimony for your family and for others to see it. I know that when we think of the 04 World Series and we think of the Red Sox team that year, we look at your stolen base. But that team had there was a strong core of spiritual players, wasn't there?
There was. You know, I just think of Billy Miller, Mike Timlin, Curt Schilling. There was a lot of guys that were believers. And it was a really good group, a tight-knit group of guys. Trot Nixon, tight, faith-driven. I mean, I remember our baseball chapel, studies on the road that we had. The wives had studies. Which was great. And it was a unique team. There's a lot of crazy personalities on the field, off the field, but there was a lot of spiritual guys.
As a manager, as a leader of a team, do you look for opportunities where you can share Christ with players, with assistant coaches? Is it more lead by example, less vocal? How do you approach that?
I think it's more lead by example. I think that I'd like to think that the way I live my life and my values and my faith are out there and people do know. But there's a fine line between when you come here to work at the ballpark and putting your faith in someone's face. But I do think that I'm fortunate that the coaches, there's a large majority of coaches that are believers on our staff. Players, we have a large majority of believers on our staff. And, you know, I just think that the way that our coaches, players handle things, and there's opportunity certainly to talk about your faith for sure. But the way that we live our lives and talk about our faith openly, I think that there's always a questioning with people that are non-believers or just not quite there yet, where their hearts become softer, a little bit more open and more curious. So right there, I know that Jesus is working, you know, through us to get to these people.
It's not our job to save them sometimes. Just plant the seed.
Yeah.
We plant the seed and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. One final thing for you. As you look around the league and you see more and more players who do show their faith, do you think that that is going to be something that allows guys to feel they can be bolder?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, this opportunity right here that you've given me allows for that. But guys that are, you know, whether it's Clayton Kershaw, A.J. Pollock, that are very vocal in their faith, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It does give people, players, their teammates, more courage to be more bold. But I think the thing is that, you know, as someone who gets curious and isn't saved, it's more of thinking that your world's going to change or I have to change my whole life and lifestyle. The expectation is unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the fallacy. That's not the truth,
right.
You know, and it's like you're not, the world doesn't go to roses and you're not perfect. There's still challenges and, you know, everyone is different in their walk.
Yeah.
And so that's to know that each day you're growing closer to Jesus Christ, and it's not going to be perfect, but if there, as long as there's a true north, you know, that's the win. And so that's the kind of the Satan's kind of trick on everyone, on non-believers and even believers, that we're not worthy.
Dave, I really appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you so much, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right, my pleasure.
That was Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. We'll talk about his interview next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, and Remy. We just heard from Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. He talked about several points that I want to get into a little bit. Number one, the importance of the relationship with Christ that he has. And that's something that we've discussed pretty much every week here. It's always about the relationship with Christ, not the religion, but the relationship that we have with the Lord. And I think sometimes on a show like today, where we're talking about imperfection and just trying to be, not try and confuse people and try and let them think that, hey, I want to be, I'm perfect. And I love what you said earlier in the show, just because you are imperfect in certain areas doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to fix those areas.
You can't, we don't,
you
settle.
Can't, you can't accept your imperfection.
Correct.
You understand it's not a criteria for being a Christian, being perfect.
Right.
But having those imperfect tendencies or imperfect qualities, maybe it is through Christ that you can perhaps get better at it or improve in those areas. And it's through that relationship with the Lord. I want to tell a funny story, because I told this last week, and it was the first time I ever shared this anywhere. And it was your sister was cracking up. Remy, we were at her house. So I grew up in the Catholic Church, and you reached this point, right? I believe it was second grade, where you go to confession, the sacrament of confession, right? So it's a whole process where they teach you how to do it.
Because you went through CCD, right?
I was in Catholic school. I didn't have to do a CCD,
gotcha, okay,
right?
All right? That makes sense, sure.
So now, here I am, like 8 or 9 years old, right? I'm a good kid at that time. Like, I listen to my parents. I'm getting straight A's. I'm listening to the teachers. I'm doing whatever I think is right. And they're telling you have to sit in a confessional and confess your sins to a priest. So I had a lie to the priest in the confessional. Okay?
That's brilliant.
I had a lie to him.
So then you had to confess
that
you were lying?
So I had to say, because I had nothing to say.
Wow.
So we begin with the bless me, Father, for I have sinned. If it's your 10th time, it's been 30 days since my last confession. Well, in this case, it's my first confession. I had no idea what to say.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there going, I disobey my parents. I don't listen to my teachers. And I'm like, I'm lying.
Wow.
I'm lying to the priest, because
I
had nothing to say. And this.
That's how different you and I are. I would have had a lot to say, I'm fairly sure.
I'm 8 years old. I'm 9 years old. I didn't know.
Kid.
As I grew up.
No, of course. You're right. When you're nine, you have no idea.
As I grew up, when I did this in my early 30s, I had 100 Hail Marys and 100 Our Fathers. They had me praying a rosary for repentance and everything else. But the point of it is if you have this relationship with Christ, you can bypass that little confession.
Yeah.
You could just drop to your knees wherever you are in your house, in your car, no matter what point of the day it is. You don't have to go through any kind of weekly confessional or however, no matter what it is, whether you can speak to Christ right there, right now. I do it all day long. Doesn't matter where it is. That relationship is so much different
than the religion.
Here's the tension point that we're the stumbling block for so many of us is that we'll never get the policies of Jesus right until we get the relationship with Jesus right. So it's like, you know, we're always trying to get the policies of Jesus right, but you can only get the policies of Jesus right when you get a relationship with the person of Jesus right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that it's the policies don't lead us to Jesus. Jesus leads us to a deeper understanding of who he is and how to live that thing out. And so that's that, you know, I love what you just said when you were talking to your girls about praying, because prayer is just talking. People say to me all the time, I don't know how to pray. And I'm like, do you know how to talk? Right? And they're like, yeah, I know how to talk. And I'm like, there you go, right there. Yeah, there you go. Right?
Well, because some people, when they pray, are
elaborate.
Well, yeah, we have to create, correct.
But that can be intimidating. That can be intimidating for those who believe that Christianity is unattainable, because they'll look at it and go, well, I don't know that I can ever pray like that, or I don't know that these words would ever come to my mind. And that's exactly what you're saying. It's just, you don't have to be
that
way.
That came from their relationship with Christ, because once you go deeper, you know more, and you just pray a certain different way.
Right.
So
this is true.
It's not necessarily that you got like a different grade of prayer than I did. It did not happen. Like, nothing dropped from the sky on me. But like, once I started learning more, reading more, getting deeper in my relationship, you get more downloads, and I don't know 100%. How else to say it. It's just more downloads.
Well, your relationship gets deeper, right?
Right.
I mean, look, I have, because of my job and everything else, I meet a lot of new people all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, when you go out to lunch with somebody for the first time, right? There's awkwardness. It doesn't matter how shy or how open you are. There's awkwardness.
Yeah.
But the more that you get to know them, your conversations become so much more fluid. It's the same way with God. And that's why the real struggle is when we feel awkward, usually we tend in a relationship, we tend to back away, not speak as much.
Yes.
But that's with any relationship, especially with God, the only way to actually grow in that is to actually have a conversation.
Yeah. And this is what the relationship did for me. When I was younger and I knew Christ, but I didn't have a real relationship, I thought the deeper I go, the more I'm going to be in a box. So I thought, no, let me retreat. 100%. I don't want to be in a box. I'm going to be right here in my comfort zone. Just knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
Turns out when you go into a relationship with Christ, there is no box. He frees you from the box. He frees you from expectations. It becomes a relationship where it's one-on-one, and it's okay to make mistakes, because he's going to correct it his own way. And the relationship becomes deeper and bigger and way better. It's kind of like when we got married.
Yeah.
I don't... Our relationship, when we get to like an argument or something, the argument would last 4 or 5 days.
Right.
Because we don't know how to communicate. It was an argument for real.
Yes.
And
totally.
Myself, let me tell you, I'm a queen of silence treatment. Queen. Oh. Okay. Yeah. Not anymore. not anymore. But now we're like 7 years in.
Yeah.
The relationship is different. So an argument lasts 5 minutes and we're done.
But your relationship is different too, right? Not only because you spent time, which you did, which is beautiful, but because the position that Rob holds in your life is different, right?
Yeah.
When we see God as the principal,
right?
The principal who's there to kind of watch over us,
right?
Make sure we're all right. But but if you get out of line,
Come
on, what's the thing that you hated the most when you were a kid? The fear the most when you were a kid?
Yeah.
That announcement coming over the intercom.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Horner, go to the principal's office. You're like, crap, right? What did I do, right? But because Rob is your husband, because he's your lover, because he's
so deeper relationship.
A different relationship.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not just time, because if we have time
it's not just
with God, right?
Oh,
exactly.
Absolutely not.
We have time with God as a principal.
Yeah.
We're always going to.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no.
Correct.
No. It's more like I want to get to know him better.
Yes, correct. Exactly.
It's not like we're just roommates. Because if it's roommates, I don't want to. It's fine. I don't really need to get to know you that well.
Correct.
But now I really want to get to know him better. And in 7 years in, I'm still learning about him, and he's still learning about me. And that's a beautiful thing, because we want that relationship to grow. So it's kind of the same thing with Christ. You want that relationship to grow. So get to know him more, and don't be afraid of the box that you think you're going to be boxed in with rules and regulations and all this painful stuff that you think you're going to have to do as a Christian. It doesn't work that way. It's very freeing, actually, to get to know Christ better.
It is. Actually, and I know this probably sounds weird, but you know, with some of the younger people in our world, talking about the same thing, Rob, I don't feel comfortable yet praying. And I said, okay, here, just text out some stuff to God. Just text us some stuff to God, right? Because God's not. We have to pray in this certain way. Just start texting out, and then stop at the end of your text and listen. Mm-hmm. Like, so if that's how you are more comfortable right now. Look, okay. I'd rather them start to do that than
Snapchat them.
Whatever you want, just talk to Jesus.
But even if you're deep in your walk, mm-hmm. I really believe writing out your prayers is very powerful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You have a prayer box too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I talked about that before, but just if you have a prayer in your mind, even if it's simple prayer, just write it down. And I don't know why, but it's just something happens when it's out of your brain and on a physical form. That just something shifts and it becomes more powerful. It becomes more like, I see it, I feel it, I can touch it, and I just see something happening right there. And when then time passes and you look back and you're like, whoa, this is really powerful, what just happened. Like, you see the manifestation of the God's promises happening in your life and how things just shift. When things are not just in your head, but on a physical form,
agreed.
Something happens.
Well, look, the word says when you get a vision, write it down, right?
Yeah.
So that you know, when you read it, you can run with it.
Right.
And Jesus said the eyes are the window to the soul. So, yeah. Remy, do think what you're saying is very powerful. When we see something, when we write something down, when we see something, it becomes a tangible expression of faith. It actually enters into our soul at a different level of things.
Thank you.
It's also, let's just be honest. We've got thousands of things that come across our attention every day between advertisements, texts, emails, right? Thousands.
Yes.
I mean, look, it's so easy to forget prayers that you've prayed. When you write them down,
you
can go back months later and go, oh my gosh, I forgot how faithful God was in that.
Answer
prayer. That's exactly
what I do. Prayers. Yeah. When we're talking about that relationship with Christ, what's the best way to get to know him? Read his word.
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
Just read his word, because we say that, and then somebody might be like, well, how do I get into, how do I develop this relationship? Just like you do with someone else, you get to know them. How do you get to know Christ? Read his word. The other day, I was opening the Bible, and I was going to read... I think it might have been Corinthians, Paul, but I just had this, I wanted to hear Jesus speak.
Yeah.
So I just turned to the Gospels because I wanted to read the red part.
Yeah.
You know, the red part, right? Because the red part of the Bible,
it's in the red.
The red part is Jesus spoke these words. And I had this overwhelming urge in me, I want to hear Jesus speak right now. So I love Paul. I love the guy. I love everything everything that he wrote. And
still
I was
the word of God, but I hear it. Yeah, absolutely.
But
I
wanted to hear Jesus' words directly. And when I turned to, I think I was in Luke 6 or Luke 7, and I'm reading the red part, and I'm reading what Jesus is saying, and I'm like, yeah, man, that's there's that relationship developing and building. You're getting to know exactly what he said, how it's been related to us over these years through these different in the Gospels. The other thing that Dave spoke about, and there were so many other points that I want to get to in the next 4 or 5 minutes here, when he talked about the idea of not being good enough, because he had that, I had that revelation, he had that earlier. Not being you don't have to be good enough. Mm-hmm. You're saved by grace. And to Ephesians 2:8-9, we talk about it so many times on this show. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's just so powerful when you understand that, when you recognize that, when you realize that it's not anything that I can do. It's what he did for us.
It's actually, the very word means you can't deserve it, right?
Yeah.
It's not a wage. If I work for something, then I get a wage.
Right.
Grace and mercy are two things that go hand in hand with God and salvation. Grace is getting something I don't deserve, and mercy is not getting something I do deserve. Mercy always has to do with judgment. Mm-hmm. No, I deserve the judgment. And that's the beautiful thing about this. It is, because why do I need judgment? Because I did something imperfectly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So the very nature of my imperfection requires there to be mercy, something I don't deserve, or not getting what I do deserve. And yet grace is this beautiful expression of saying, look, you don't deserve anything I'm going to give you because of your imperfection, and yet I'm going to choose to give it to you anyway. And it reveals the love of God.
He talked also about I asked him about the Red Sox, because that was a wild team. If you remember back,
how
crazy they were.
Crazy.
Cowboy Up was Kevin Millar's theme. But they had a strong core of believers, and that was cool to see. that they had that many guys on that team, and you need that kind of thing. The other point that he made in the interview was, we can never be perfect, but being a Christian doesn't mean being perfect. It means walking in God's grace, which you talked about towards the end, and leading by example. And that's an idea where sometimes we feel like we have to be outspoken or we have to be bold. But he was a guy who led by example. And sometimes there's a lot of power in that, in the way you live your life. And in his case, the way he handled overcoming adversity of cancer, him and his wife,
so led powerful. That was so powerful.
That's just an incredible, incredible moment. Because you look at that and you go, well, you know, what do I say? What do I do? No, it's just living it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just living out your life, doing what you have come to realize and expect in your relationship with Christ. And then if other people see you, what do we say so many times? Live your life in such a way that those who know me but don't know Christ will come to know Christ because they know me. There's so much power in that. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't be outspoken. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be bold. We talk about being bold, being courageous, going out there, using your platform, whatever it is.
Correct.
But ultimately, it's you don't want to be hypocritical, so you want to lead by example.
The integrity of our testimony is not found in whether or not we fall. It's what we do after when we've fallen.
Right.
Like, so, look, everyone's going to fall, and I think the great or be broken or come to those moments of sickness, disease, however that looks. Mm-hmm. You know, when everyone says, oh, I thought life should be better for you, you're a Christian, or I thought life would be better because I came to Christ. The integrity of our testimony isn't built on the lack of those moments. It's built on, man, when I've fallen, how do I get up? How do I respond when I've messed up? Yes. When I go through the trial? When I face the valley times? How do I respond in those moments? Because that's really what people can relate to. No one can relate to a perfect marriage. No one can relate to a perfect person. No one can relate to a perfect life. So the reality is, people are going to look at you and say, man, when she went through cancer, it was one of the most difficult times of my life. And yet I fell more in love with Jesus. I had a deeper revelation of who he was than ever before through that thing. And it spoke more to people than so many other successes, planning the church, speaking all over the world, doing all the people wanted to see, all right, Kyle Danielle, I heard what you've said all these years. Mm. What are you going to do now?
Right.
That's so powerful. There's so much power in that. It comes down to walking your talk. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. A big thanks to our guest, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, all he does to make us present better. Thank you to Jim Henderson for his work behind the scenes, Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field show presented by Kieran University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Kieran University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Kieran is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Kieran is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at kieran.edu/visit.